Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, glory. Amen. If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Joshua. Amen. We're going to start with the second chapter and the first verse. We will be doing a lot of jumping and skipping and then some backtracking. But all in all, we want you to be able to understand what God is wanting us to hear. There is a change that is about to take place, not just in Rahab's life, but in the way the cloud moves. We've been preaching on the cloud. A whole lot of things are about to take place because of one woman's faith in God. Amen. She could have been wrapped up in fear, but she was tied up in faith. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." Now, I don't know if you know anything about Jericho or Jericho, but Jericho was a place where there was much. Jericho was a pleasure place where you could go get whatever you wanted to get. And I do mean get whatever you wanted to get. It was a place of pleasure, a place of enjoyment. Most places that God said just destroy. Jericho was a type shadow of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they were there, and they went to spy out the land. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, I've been reading a lot of different transitions on Rahab. Some say she was a harlot, and some say she wasn't a harlot. They really don't know what she was. All of them come to one fact, though, is that she had faith in God. Whether she was a prostitute, she had faith in God. Whether she wasn't a prostitute, she still had faith in God. So therefore, God was able to use her. Some say that she was a descendant of David, or she was a descendant of Christ. And some say she was not. She was a descendant of others. But nevertheless, she still had what? Faith. See, it doesn't matter what folks say about you. It's your faith that makes the difference. She is the only other person that spoke about in the book of Hebrews in the faith chapter. So evidently what she did had to astound the scholars in order for them to put her in the book of Ahab, Hebrews. Because you have to understand something. There's a whole lot of people that did some miraculous things by faith that never were put into the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But hers was put in there because there was something special about what she did. It says, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab's. And Rahab lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight to the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, "Thus came the men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And she came to pass about time of shutting the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued them after them the way of the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So you say, well, Rahab was a liar. She lied to them. But Rahab was also a deliverer. It depends on how you look at it. It depends on what type of word that you're trying to search for and get out of God. When I look at it, I see a woman that had enough faith and trust in God to believe that if she could protect these men of God, that she would also protect herself. See, that's the clue. It talks about so many other things. That's, the Bible says, sow the seed unto others that you want sowed unto you. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Therefore, Rahab understood these principles, not because she had heard them, but because it was something that was in her spirit that gave her the understanding and the knowledge. See, what you have to understand, revelation knowledge don't come out of the Bible. Many folks think revelation knowledge comes from the Bible. Revelation knowledge comes from a word that God has placed down into your spirit, and God reveals himself within you to teach you and to guide you. See, the Holy Ghost is the giver of all knowledge and all understanding. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's impossible for you to have any revealed knowledge. So Rahab, after all this, she hid them. And it was important that she hid them. She hid them in the stalks of flax or the flax of stalk. And see, what's so important about that? She did it just before Passover. Well, when you think about Passover, you think about Egypt. Moses told them, or told Joshua, go tell everybody that was a Jew to put the blood of the goat or the lamb over the top of your house, and your house would be passed over. Well, how did Rahab know that her house would be passed over? It's funny how God works things out. God moves things by revelation in our lives to put us in a position where we can be in a place of blessing. But you got to be, you ain't hearing me, you got to be willing to sacrifice in order to be blessed. Folks want the blessing, but they don't want the sacrifice, man. Because the sacrifice is always going to cost you something that you don't want to give up. So Rahab took a chance and gave up and hid him on the roof. Then it says, go over to the 11th verse. And as soon as she had heard these things, she's beginning to talk about what they had heard. It's funny how when God goes before you, he causes men's knees to tremble. Now, these were great tribes, great men of God, fighters, warriors. But when they heard how God brought them out of Egypt and opened and let them walk across on dry land, on the Red Sea, they were so afraid. They were worried that this same army was coming to destroy them. They were already messed up. That's why I say it's so important that you let God go before you and fight your battle for you. You let God go before you, you will realize when you finally get there that the battle has already been eradicated. All you got to do is pick up the pieces. Eleven. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and earth above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto me, my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that I have and deliver our lives from death. Rahab ain't playing. Rahab said, look here, I'm about to sacrifice something. And if I sacrifice, I want you to sacrifice. I'm taking somebody with me. I'm going to give you the supreme sacrifice. I'm going to take you and hide you in my house, knowing that if they find you, not only will they kill you, but they're going to kill me. They're going to kill my mother, my father, my sisters, my relatives. They're going to kill everything that is tied into me so that there will be nothing left of my life. I want something from you. You have to talk to God like you want something from God. We go to God, oh Lord, please. You think it'd be possible? In any way, can you? You got to go to God. We now have the ability to go to God humbly and boldly and petition that which we have need of because of what God has done in your life. Rahab said, oh my God, let me tell you, brother, something. If I do this for you, I expect something from you. You're going to not. My father shall live. My sister shall live. My mother shall live. She's telling them something. Everybody that has to do something with me, they are going to live. 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. And we know that the line of scarlet thread represented what? the same blood that was used in the Passover in Egypt. This line of scarlet thread represented the same thing. So that when they came in, when they saw, but see, what we failed to realize, it didn't matter if the army saw it. Y'all hear me now. Didn't matter if the army saw the thread. There was only one person that needed to see the thread. And it was Joshua. If Joshua saw the thread, then the house would be passed over. If anybody else saw the thread, the house would be condemned or destroyed. But Joshua had to see the thread. Why? Because he was the type of Christ, and he was the blood that needed to see it in order for them to receive the life that they had need of. So this woman was a very brilliant and very smart woman. And she said, "Be that thou whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, this house shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever shall be with thee in the house, his house shall be on our head, if any hand come upon them. And if thou utter this business, then we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made with us." And she, listen to what she said. "According unto your words, so be it." Why? Because she understood that there was power in the tongue. Folks have no idea how much power in the tongue. You better watch what you say about people. Watch how you talk about people. Watch how you destroy people. Watch how you try to tear people down. Because that same destruction going to come back to you when you least expect it. Rahab understood something, Brother Tim, about it. She understood that this tongue has power. And because I'm going to say this, I know these things are going to take place for me. I understand this, Rahab said. Rahab said, "So be it. You have said it, so the word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And when she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went and came a mountain of bold 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the land, but found them not. Don't you know that God can make you invisible if you have the scarlet thread? If you are hid under the blood of the Lamb, you can be invisible to your enemies. You can be invisible to your sicknesses. You can be invisible to your distresses. God can make you invisible. Don't you want to be invisible? Look, when they were trying to capture Jesus, they were looking for him all over the place. The Bible says Jesus passed right through them. He was right in the center, but they couldn't grab him. Why? Because of the anointing and the love of God. Hate can never overcome love. Envy can never overcome love. Jealousy can never overcome love. You've got to let the love of God manifest itself in your life, and you'll find yourself invisible to haters. You'll find yourself invisible to jealous. You'll find yourself invisible to people that want to persecute you. You'll find yourself invisible. You've got to remember, this is more than just talk. It's talking about kingdom principles, the kingdom that God has laid in our life and in our hearts, that we might walk in Canaan living in this land. I'm looking for everything that I'm looking for, Sister Moore. I'm tired of not having finance. I'm tired of not being healthy. I'm tired of not having peace. I'm tired of not being blessed. I want all that God has for me, and I know the only way to receive it is by pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And if I keep pressing, there is nothing that my God will withhold from me. And he said, if I seek him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he didn't say I had to find him. All he said, I had to seek him. And if I sought him, he would give unto me all the things that I have need of. Rahab understood all these principles, and she wasn't even a Christian. Lord, have mercy. We spend more time crying to God about things that we don't need than we do things we need. If you start doing some serious research about the epistles, you will find out that all the prayers that went forth in the epistles were for people to get understanding, to receive knowledge, to be strong, to know how to resist the devil, to know how to bind their flesh, teaching them how to do the things of God, how to walk in nature in the character of a king and not that of a bum. Hallelujah. She says, so be it. Flip over. Go over to the third, 3:3. Now this is when the cloud and the fire changes places with the word of God. And they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark. Listen to me, folks. You got to be able to see the ark. You got to be able to see it. Because if you don't see the ark, you'll be lost. Have you ever wondered why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they never could really focus on the ark. Only thing they focused on was their own selfishness, their own desires, and their own ideas, and the ark was with them all the time. How can you have the word of God or the ark with the power of God in it and not focus on it and miss out on what God has for you? So God says, since you can't see the ark, you won't see Canaan. When you see the ark, he commanded the people, saying to them, when you see. He didn't say you would see. He said, but when you see. When you change and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you can see the ark of the covenant, or you can see the word of God in its fullness and in its strength and in its power, then you can make it. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove your place and go after them. See, a lot of folks are running after stuff and it ain't got nothing to do with the word. Brother Tim, when you can see the ark and it begins to move, then you move after it. But if the ark don't move, you stay put. Folks leaving and running and haven't seen the ark move. Only thing they see move, a bunch of mouths, a bunch of itching ears, and a whole bunch of mess. And they running behind it. But I got news for you. That which they run behind is going to be the very thing that's going to devour them. Only thing I want to devour me, sis, is the word of God. I want to be devoured by the word of God. I want to be overwhelmed by the spirit of the anointing of God. So I'm going to stay. I'm going to focus on the ark. If the ark goes to the right, I'm going to the right. If the ark goes to the left, I'm going to the left. If the ark goes up, I'm going to find a way to go up. If the ark goes underground, I'm going to dig my way underground, because I know this for a fact. If I stay with the ark of the covenant, if I stay with the word of God, it will create an atmosphere that if there is no air underground, I'll breathe. If there's no air in the sky, I'll breathe. If there's trouble on the left, I'll get delivered. If there's trial on the right, I'll get set free. Why? Because wherever the ark is, there is deliverance, there's power, there's freedom. I'm going to tell you something here today. You've got to follow after the ark. Listen to me now. But now I got a revelation for you. That ark that they're following after, you no longer have to run after. You have to allow it to flow forth from your spirit. Excuse me. He said, you Lord God, my God, my God, Jehovah, your Elohim, you got to see it. Space cubic, you went 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way thereto. See, there's a lot of things that you've never been through before. And there's a lot of things you've never experienced. But you about to. I'm going through a lot of things I've never experienced before, I never thought could happen. And you want to run, and you want to give up, and you want to fight, and you want to get even. But God said, that ain't God. That ain't God. He said, I don't have nothing to do with I'm not the author of confusion. Come on. So that means you have to hold your peace. Yes, and let God fight your battle for you. Yes. And let God move for you. Yes. Let God tear down strongholds for you. Yes. Why? Because you've never been this way before. How can you go? How can you decide which way to go a way you've never been before? Except you allow the word of God to lead you and to guide you. Now, I've got news for you. If you'll let the word of God lead you, you'll find yourself in some of the most supernatural places, some places you've never been before. Look at John, the Revelator. He was in a place and found himself in heaven seeing. See, most folks think that the book of Revelations is all about John, but it's about Jesus. Oh, my God. Know the way which we must go, for ye have not passed this way to heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God wants to do some tremendous things in our lives. He wants to produce healings. He wants to produce deliverances. He wants folks to have power, and he wants us to be blessed financially, and he wants our families to be saved and delivered. But he wants us to do one thing. He requires something of us. He wants you to sanctify yourself. And that's the hardest thing to do, to sanctify yourself, because that means you got to come out from among them. You got to separate yourself sometimes from the ones you love, the ones you say are your friends, the one you say you care about. You have to separate yourself so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. You got to sanctify. The word sanctify in the Hebrew means to set apart or come out from. And a lot of times you ain't wanting to do that. But then you have to decide what's more important to you, the power and the things of God or friendships. My God. If I can have all that God has for me, I've got the greatest friend in the world. Rahab prepared her life for eternity. You have to prepare your life for eternity. Only difference is now you don't have to hang a scarlet thread out. The scarlet thread is in your body in the form of the Lord Jesus and flowing in and out of your veins, teaching you and guiding you and revealing you the things that you need to know that you might fight the good fight of faith. God said we're soldiers. He said we're soldiers. He said, be ye good soldiers of Christ Jesus. He didn't say be babies, be whiners, complainers, belly achers. But he said, be good soldiers. Always crying about what you're going through because it's rough. Well, dear God, it's going to get rougher then. But I got news for you. If you can see the ark, if you can see the ark, if you can focus on the ark, you will find out that your strength is in the word of God. And then you get the word of God down on the inside of you, and you start letting that word produce that which God wants it to produce. You will find out that your trouble really ain't trouble, that your heartache really ain't heartache, that your anxiety really ain't anxiety, that your sickness really ain't sickness, that your trouble really ain't trouble, that your tribulation really ain't tribulation. All it is to make you and to bring you to a place where now you can move into a higher realm with God, and you can look at those things that are not as though they are, and you can speak to things that are and cause them to change, and you can pull principalities down, and you can loose the anointing in the lives of those. God is bringing forth a people that has the ability, but you got to get your victuals together and you got to sanctify yourself. It didn't say sanctify as a whole at this point, but it says sanctify yourself individually. Sanctify yourself. When you sanctify yourself individually, what it does, it brings you to somebody else that is sanctifying themselves. Then that'll bring you to somebody else that is sanctifying themselves. Before long, you'll have a corporate sanctification. And with a corporate separate sanctification, then you're going to have, oh, trouble about to be loosed in the land. Yeah. Well, we know what the story says. Rahab was spared because she believed in a God that she knew nothing of. Did you hear me? Rahab believed in a God that she knew nothing of. So how much more should you believe in a God that you know all about? Wow. Let me close up. Go down to the fourth verse. Fourth chapter, I mean. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over the Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of people out of every tribe a man, and command him, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over there, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge there this night. And Joshua called the 12 men when he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that it may be a sign among you, that when you children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as the Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, carried them over with him up on the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they were all there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and passed over, and it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over, and the ark of the Lord passed over, the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, the half of the tribe of Manasseh, to pass over the arm before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, and about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before, and the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Why? Because from the moment he came out of Egypt, he did what the word of God constrained him to do. When you do what the word of God tells you to do, God will turn you into greatness. You can't make yourself great, but God can. And you have to remember this, all of this had the ability to transpire because of who? Rahab, because one little woman dared to believe in a God that she did not know, that if she could spare these men, that her whole household would be spared. Because she believed, she allowed them to do that which they wouldn't have been able to do. They got into the land of Jericho, they destroyed Jericho, and they went on their pilgrimage. But because of this woman, and in the process of this, this woman was, she did what? She repented, and she was transformed and renewed into that which now was a part of Israel. You can't tell me what God can't do. There is nothing impossible with our God. So if you sitting there wondering, well, God ain't did it yet, that's why he hadn't did it yet. You sitting there thinking, well, when is he going to do it? That's why he hasn't done it. But when you start saying, Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I magnify you for it. And I glorify you for it. You will find out that that which you're looking far off from is sitting right before you. Come on and give God some praise. I want to have that kind of faith, that I can have faith to believe that if I hang a scarlet thread outside my window, that the men that are coming to destroy my whole country are going to let me live. All I'm going by is falls on faith. I'm not going by on their promise. They gave me a promise, but I can't trust their promise. I can only stand on the faith that I have. I can't stand on their words, but I got to stand on my faith. So it shall be, her word said. I will stand on the faith of God. I will prepare myself and because of it, you've got to let your faith rise to a new level. You've got to let your faith make you grow and mature into that God has called you to be. You've got to let your faith change your thinking. Your faith has got to change what you see. Your faith has got to change what you hear. Your faith has got to change the way you act. Your faith has got to change the way you carry yourself. Your faith is the epistis of God. It's a supernatural spirit that's moving and binding and loosing and causing to magnify itself in your life, that God can bring you to a higher realm in Him, so that you will stop looking for the hands of God and looking for the feet of God, and then that you might look right into the eyes of our Almighty God and see exactly what He wants you to know. But sooner or later, you got to come to the place where you got to sanctify yourself unto the Lord. Come on and stand.